Next item on the agenda is presentation on staff of how mean low water is calculated and surveyed.
I'm done.
Yes, you are.
Ed Penning.
First of all, let me say that I am not an expert in determining mean low water. The federal government is. And we take their information and try to manipulate it to come up with a fairly close understanding where mean low water is. So basically all I'm doing here today is just to kind of give you a quick background on what we do and how we would handle it when it comes in front of us. Right now the federal government has 175 permanent tide gauges around the United States now. And from that, they base all sorts of datums off of it. NGV 29, NVG 88, and GO 04. They're all mean sea level information. If you remember a few months ago, you had somebody up here talking about NGV 29 and all this stuff. Bottom line there, it doesn't mean diddly squat. You deal with mean
low water. Put it scientifically.
Yes.
Okay.
You deal with mean low water, mean high water, 1.5 times tide range. You can't carry by levels mean low water from one creek over to the other creek by using NGV 29. You just can't do it. It's physically not correct. Okay. Just some quick ones here. Mean low water is the average of low water heights observed over a 19-year period. The 19-year period is an epoch, which basically gives you the entire circular gravitation. It takes 19 years for all of it to go around. So it takes 19 years for all the lunar and all the other gravitational pulls to affect. Mean high water is basically the same thing as the 19-year period of all the average high waters. And mean tide range is the difference between the two means. Jurisdictional wetlands is high water with no vegetation and 1.5 times tide range with vegetation. And the epoch is a cycle of 18.6. We usually just say 19 years, which takes in all the gravitational forces involved. We have real-time tide stations, and these are in Virginia, and these are working 24 hours a day. I don't know if since the hurricane whether or not all of these on this side are up and running. But I know Watch Prig and Kippeek and Sewell's Point is one of the oldest that we have. And this is at VIMS. This is just showing a little drawing, showing the tide gauge itself, which is, can you see this without the lights or are you all?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is the tide gauge itself and the communications, the real-time communications in this building, and it's just sent out from there. And this is just Sewell's Point, just a regular tide chart that you would normally pick up. But VIMS has showing the 2 days worth of tide cycles. You got low water and low water on one particular day. And as you notice, there's a lower low and a higher low. And the same thing, you have a lower high and a higher high. And you end up with a mean low water for that particular day. And a mean high water for that particular day, and the mean range for that particular day. That's basically what you do. You're averaging all the highs and all the lows to come up with this range over a 19-year cycle. But that's just for one particular day. This is a tidal benchmark at VIMS on the Eastern Shore of Wachaprig, just to give you an idea of what one looks like. This could been put anywhere as a survey marker a lot, and these discs are usually driven to refusal. They're on rods that are driven down 30, 40 feet, and then they put an outer rim of PVC around it. Just to, in most cases, these things are capped. Another one, just they can be put anywhere. It doesn't matter. This is another one at VIMS, and you know it's been decorated. Again, there's this, the one that's showing the, and they can be put anywhere. This is in the side of the building at VIMS. This happens to be 11.07 feet above mean low water, right there. And from this one, this is 10.44B, 1978. from this one, we did run levels because it was relatively close. There is VIMS, where the benchmark is right here. So we ran a quick set of levels over here, and we set this stake. And this was set at the mean low water mark. And if you can see where the tide is, that's actually mean low water on the last epoch, which is the last 19-year cycle. The mean low water changes every 19 years or 20 years. It's a new epoch, and they upgrade it. So as tide rises, this line will start to creep every 20 years that way. But anyway, in this particular case, this is the last, and this is the legal definition of mean low water at that site. This is showing the stake again, showing mean low water on another particular day. As you can see, it's well above the average or mean low. The owner of this property happens to be Mr. Lewis. His ownership doesn't stop here. He still owns down to where the stake is. And on the other hand, on a tide that's below normal or low water, he doesn't own all the way down here. Mr. Lewis still owns the here, and the Commonwealth owns this in here. So when you hear people talking about, well, I've been down there, and you know, to my best of my recollection, low tide is here, it really isn't. It's where this stake is. It's not where they may remember it being here. And you usually have a tendency to remember the low tides versus the high tides. So it's kind of like staking oyster grind. You never see anything understaked. It's always overstaked. Anyway. And so anyway, that's low water on that particular day. This is some biological indicators. I find this helpful when we're trying to determine high or low or what have you. You can see this breakwater and the upper reaches of the mark here, and then you can come down a little farther and you see it's more solid. Well, in reality, mean low water is probably somewhere between the two of them. And this is probably almost a foot, but somewhere between the two, you're getting into about 6 inches, and that's for high water. That's ball gainers, and that's all that is. Another good indicator for 1.5 times tide range for the jurisdictional wetlands calls, which deals with the boards and the in y'all when there's not a board, is saltwater bush line. And the roots of the saltwater bushes are right in here. The jurisdiction for 1.5 times is normally right where this red line is. Everything this way is jurisdictional. Above it is considered non-jurisdictional. That works extremely well. We just had a case recently on Chincoteague where I used a tidal bench, and it was on the last, 1960-1978 epoch. So the elevation, when we brought it over to check to see where jurisdictional wetlands was, we hit the marsh bush line, saltwater bush line, where the dead ones were. Not the live bushes, but where the dead ones were. That shows that tide rises. So I went back and redid it on the new, 2001 epoch, and it hit where the live saltwater bushes are. So it's an extremely good indicator of where 1.5 times tide range is. The saltwater bushes don't live below 1.5, and they die. And you can establish mean low water. It's not easy because, as I said earlier, basically, well, I remember Granddaddy saying low water was out here. That didn't mean anything. So there is a method, and this is generally how you can do it. You have a control station like a Sewell's Point, a Kiptopeque, a Watcheprig that is up to date on the last epoch. You have a secondary station that's installed near the project site. You observe them for about a month at the same time. You're catching both highs and both lows, and obviously they're not going to be the same. But from that, you can determine the high water and the low water for the month at both places. And this information can then be computed to determine high water and low water at the secondary site. And it's basically a range ration ratio there. And it's fairly simple, but at the same time, it's confusing. I have to think about it when we do it. Anyway, this method works fairly well over a short period of time, and it gets you within about a tenth of a foot if the stations are not too far apart and are not in completely different water basins, bayside, seaside, and so forth. And then just one more quickie, jurisdictional boundaries that really amount to anything. 1.5 times tide range, mean high, and mean low. And again, all the sleight of hand that says NGV 29, you don't care about it. It means nothing. It's mean low water. That's the only thing that means anything. That's all I got.
Question. Where is the station at Chesapeake?
Right on the pier.
Right on the
fishing
pier.
Yeah, it's on the south side of the fishing pier. Mm-hmm. And you can pull it up online. That's another thing that we use is we'll get online before we go out in the field to do oyster ground surveys and see how the tide's working that particular day in relationship to what it's predicted. Sometimes it's a half a foot high or half a foot low, and it gives us a good understanding of where what we're dealing with.
Any questions, Rick? No. I mean, Mr. Robbins.
Hank, thank you for your presentation. How does sedimentation come into play?
It doesn't at all. No, I mean, if it's got water on it, it's got water on it. If it doesn't have water on it, if it's exposed, it's still low water. I guess, is that what you're asking, Rick?
When you have a dynamic situation and you're trying to make a determination of mean low water, and you've got a very dynamic site, let's say, and there's a lot of sedimentation occurring. I'm just wondering how that affects the MLW definition.
I think the easiest way is really getting back to this right there. If I can set a stake at elevation wise at what is considered low water, no matter what sedimentation is there or not, if it's wet, it's ours. If it's dry, it's somebody else's, or the high landowner. But sedimentation does create a problem because it's that fluffy stuff in a lot of cases, and it's difficult. When you get into a flat surface on the Eastern Shore Seaside, for example, where there may be 2,000 feet of sand flat and it only changes in elevation 1/10, 2/10, it's extremely difficult to do it without really setting up a tide gauge and letting it run for probably a year to get really information, because you're only talking about, you can't miss it by much. When we do oyster ground surveys, we'll do a quick understanding of where we feel low water is, and then we back off a minimum of 2/10 of elevation. So we try to give the upland property the benefit of the doubt when it comes to leasing oyster ground in front of them.
Thank you.
Mr. Schick?
Yeah. It's every 19 years this is calculated, so it's not recalculated every year on a 19-year basis.
No.
Right, okay. And then my next question is on some of these after-the-fact permitting issues, like we had one a while ago, establishing where the low tide mark was after something's been filled in. Mm-hmm. Is that something you can do on adjacent property and calculate how it, you know, we had that problem with, aerial photographs, not knowing what time, what wind, what, all of those issues. How does that play into calculating?
Yeah, I think you could set up a gauge and do a comparison and get fairly close within a tenth. It'll probably take you a month. I might, if it's really a technical one like y'all were dealing with, I would probably want to run it longer than a month. Mm-hmm. Just to get better information. And then you can either go to the side and get some understanding of where it was on both sides, or in reality, you can dig down through the fill, and once you get through the fill, you're going to find what was there before the fill was put on. It's going to be very obvious change. And so you've got a hole, you can stick a rod down.
Core sample.
Yeah, that core sample, you get a hole like that, you can stick a rod down and determine what that elevation is. So it could have been done. It can be done.
Can be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not,
Mr. Fox?
If Al Gore is right, then this mean low water is a moving thing, right?
Every 19 years, it's a new
mm-hmm. setting.
Right, and they basically come out every 20 years because it takes them a little bit of time to do it. Like this last one, it just came out, I believe, last year through 2001.
Okay.
And that epoch was 1983 to 2001, and they're working on the next 19 years now.
Right, but within each 19-year period, it's my understanding there's a coefficient of the tides, mm-hmm. which you can figure, yep. utilizing that coefficient, you can figure where the low tide that day ought to be.
But that's
or is the
that, that would be pretty difficult because now you've got wind action and other things that
yeah.
that are not being played in on a daily basis.
No, but that it should be where the tide should be absent of the daily factors, I guess.
Yeah, that's what you've got with grass.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you that basically is. If you knock out all the winds and so forth, this is what they were expecting that particular day.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what's kind of interesting, I don't want to go on too much, but something that you notice over a 19-year cycle, because of the gravitational pulls, the beginning of the epoch, the first 10 years or 7 years, you have higher water than you do in the second half. Because of the gravitational pulls. Now, you think about it, mm-hmm. there's more gravitational pull on us if you've got more objects on one side than you do the other. So at one particular time, you may have 5 or 6 gravitational issues being pulled on this side, and then in the next 10 years where everything's rotated around, there's less, they're spread out. So at certain times during that epoch, you'll get higher tides for three or four years, 5 years, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, you're talking about like 2-3 feet higher?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Or, you're just, talking inches.
Yeah, you're talking inches, but it's definitely something that's noticeable on the charts.
Right. Dr. McConaughey?
Oh, I was just going to make a comment on Carter's. Sea level rise has only been about 3 centimeters in the last 50 or 60 years around here. There's you can get a graph off the Sewell's Point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're not talking about large amounts here.
Let me tell you, they made me pull out some of the stuff on how tide's rising to keep it
going. Well, it's rising faster here than other places.
Yeah, we're in a 20-year period, you're basically going up in this area about between 3-3.5 tenths of a foot in a 20-year cycle.
Hank, on my sonar fish finder on my personal boat, there's an icon that shows up. An icon indicates deviation from normal tide, plus or minus. Got any idea where that information comes from?
No, I really don't.
I don't know whether it was downloaded. Whether
not a clue.
I guess I could read the manual, figure out. But I figured I'm lucky enough to get fish to come up on it. But anyway, any other questions? Thank you so much for the presentation. The only thing that I would say is, from now on, if we have an individual that comes and starts espousing his knowledge of high and low tide, jump up and scream and say, "Wait a minute!"
Benny and I were in the back just.
That's the only thing I would ask. Bob, thank you for the presentation. Appreciate it. Next item on the agenda.